Well, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story about the American writer James Thurber, who went to Paris on one occasion, and his hostess had read his work, but had read it in French. And she said, I very much like your work, but I prefer it in translation to English. So Thurber says, yes, I find I lose a lot in the original. So you can imagine that's exactly how I feel this evening after the beauty and trustworthiness of these translations. It's a great honor to have my work featured like this at this important moment in the history of the humanities in Trinity College and the commitment of the Ireland literature exchange has been terrific. So, of course, I'm deeply grateful. Sitting on this altar, I think I should be going around washing their feet or something like that. Monday, Thursday, but that's all past by now. So, but the quality of the work done here by these translators is, it promises such a successful follow-up to this inaugural event. Like many other Irish writers, prose writers as well as poets, I am indebted to translators for creating audiences in other countries. And I was glad that Jerzy mentioned the kind of dueling translations in Polish. I think that's the case everywhere. Not in Poland, but in many's a place when you turn up to read, somebody will call you aside and say, by the way, those translations aren't very good. No. But in these cases, the opposite applies. People take you aside and say, very good, you know, poor Jerzy and Grigory, you're very lucky to have them. Yeah. So it must be said at the same time, I suppose, that Irish poets have done their bit to recompense the linguistic debt they owe. Elaine has translated from the Italian and the Romanian. Our friend Derek Mahon has Englished Philippe Jacoté. Michael Longley has adapted Homer. Kieran Carson has done the Inferno and Midnight Court and Rimbaud's Illumination. So we're already in the business, and this new Centre of Literary Translation at Trinity will seriously extend the effort and the achievements of literary translations in Ireland. Now, for punishment, there's more poetry being read here. I'm going to try to read Asp Gaeilge, a poem which will end up as a toast, I hope. And Bunan Bui, let's hear a bit of Irish even in my pronunciation of it. A wunain wi, shemo liendo li, is the chra wa shinja teresh to grin. Hanas we bi ach diawal ji, a dag tu li erhul do kin. Is masalum pain nas christna tri, tu veh do li lakalum. Is nak jarna tu jich na dolly sa cheer, is nar verlat fien na iske pol. A one ein alin is she mavila krahu, the cooler lar and we roam set lee. Is corve me la a clinum de grag, a lab is too big all naji. Is she ni jer cach, le der yarher cahel, go ein shabas, or should mas fear. Ach ni howly a ta, should and prech and bra, hoi a neg, bal a licht a ji. A one ein oig, she ma vila brown, tu ve shinche fuur a mask na don. Is na luchi mora ek trail hun de torov, ek jano sport, agus pleasure un. Is the gurfa scala a mui fu indiensa, goro tu a nevin, no am rod fa dioch. Da vrishin bem ditch, loch oud besig, is fluchem do well is to crop is jach. Ni head nor ni head were nainly a tammy agegnach, an lun an smuelach, no an chor glass. Och ma one an we a be land de chri, gur cosa William Haney in re is in ach. Fiatri goshiri, egol na di, is jerna dina gomim shamershin, nilain jor da vahin, nach ligin shios, erugla govain she bast in tart. She dir molstorium, ligin ston all, nach main she bio, och shal biogyar, och dirch mi lehi, gulogshi and vreg, is gurvadje mohilsa and jochu da isle. Nach facken jiv ein an fi bin re a chui an eig don tart ar bal is a cuirsin cleave fluchy mar mail o can oi nan han ein jiv brain in ye mar mash. For those who don't know the poem, this is a poem about a bird that is found by the poet frozen into the ice of a lake. And the bird is called in Irish Bunan Bui, which means the yellow bittern. And the poet identifies with it because the bittern lost its knife by trying to peck into the ice of the lake in order to get a drink of water. But Cathal Bui, yellow-haired Cathal, was devoted to a drink himself, and was threatened. You know, he sees in the frozen bird his own fate some way figured. So I'm going to read the translation also, hogging the show at the end. Yellow bittern, there you are now, skin and bone on the frozen shore. It wasn't hunger, but thirst for a mouthful that left you foundered and me heart sore. What odds is it now about Troy's destruction with you on the flagstone upside down, who never injured or hurt a creature and preferred bog water to any wine? Bittern, bittern, your end was awful, your perished skull there on the road, you that would call me every morning with your gargler song as you guzzled mud. And that's what's ahead of your brother Cal. You know what they say about me and the stuff, but they've got it wrong, and the truth is simple. A drop would have saved that croaker's life. I am saddened, bittern, and broken-hearted to find you in scrags in the rushy tufts, and the big rats scampering down the rat path to wake your carcass and have their fun. If you could have got word to me in time, bird, that you were in trouble and craved a sup, I'd have struck the fetters of those loch waters and wet your thrapple with a blow I struck. Your common birds do not concern me, the blackbirds say, or the thrush or crane, but my yellow bittern, my handsome namesake, with my looks and locks, he's the one I mourn. Constantly he was drinking, drinking, and by all accounts I've a name for it too. But every drop I get, I'll sink it, for fear I may get my end from Druth. The woman I love says to give it up now, or else I'll go to an early grave. But I say no and keep resisting, for taking drinks what prolongs your days. You saw for yourselves a while ago what happened when the bird when its throat went dry. So my friends and neighbours, let it flow. You'll be stood no rounds in eternity.
Thank you very much for ending on that cheerful note. I have only a couple of more things to say. First of all, to thank Seamus Heaney and his translators for showing us not only the poetry and the process of taking poetry from one language into another, but also allowing us to see how people read and grapple with poetry and the many influences that bear on them, personal, linguistic, national, when they come to perform this rather difficult task. So thank you all again very much. The second thing I have to say is, please, would you allow the poet and translators to leave, stay in your seats for just a minute until they have escaped from here. It's because of the odd architecture of this chapel. There's only one, well, way out unless we take the fire escape. And the third thing is, there is a reception going on in the long room hub. I think it's probably safe to follow the crowd, but there will be people who will guide you on your way. It is actually absolutely in, well, almost in a straight line across from here, on your way towards the Nassau Street gate of Trinity. And we will all be joining you at the reception presently. So, have I said everything? Yeah. Okay. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to everybody in Trinity. Well, with us.